Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Today we have our co-hosts. Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson with us, and in a few minutes, our guest, presidential author, Ronald Fineman, will be joining us. The topic that we're going to, as we do every Sunday, we're going to discuss the week's politics, but the most prevalent overview of the week is probably yesterday. Incredible send-off for Senator John McCain. And I actually put in the title of this show a very poignant thing that was said by Steve Schmidt, who worked on campaigns with McCain. He said in his commentary, viewing from MSNBC, that in public life today, a season of cowardice is abreast and out there dominating so much. But yesterday, at the funeral of Senator McCain, there were a lot of, it was about him. And I think that there's, you know, a certain part of the country, a very small part of the country, that's saying it was an excuse to have hay at the president. But you know what? That funeral was not about Trump in any way at all, really. What it was about Senator McCain loving his country so much that he basically outlaid this whole thing so that it would give people a chance to stop, to pause, and remember who we are and where we come from and what we can achieve together when we'll sit down and talk to one another, you know?
Right. Good point.
It wasn't about, people should not be out there saying, you know, of course, all of us have, and I have to say cheers to Megan. That was heartbreaking. If you've lost a parent, you know, the day you wake up afterwards, the world is never the same. Never. And she lost her father, but she lost so much more because he was who he was. And she stood up to it. She got up on that pulpit and she spoke her heart. And in it, she explained why her father was who he was. And she was proud and she had every right to be.
Absolutely.
And I have seen today commentary on social media and from certain areas of the Republican theater that have condemned her for it.
Oh,
and
how ridiculous.
It's so shameful.
Well, it just shows you how heartless the current Republican Party is. They don't have a heart at all. None whatsoever. They're cold-hearted as hell.
I agree with you 100%. Jack. I mean,
she did such an outstanding job. She had me in tears, and that's not an easy feat. And she nailed it, you know. And she was so harsh on Trump's nonsense about making America great again. She says there's no need to make America great again. It's already great, and her words to that effect. And that was outstanding.
That got quite an applause in the. It really did.
And, you know, Trump's been strongly, very silent about this, deservedly, and he hates giving up the spotlight, and he's had to do it over the last couple days. Good deal. About time for him to just shut up for a change. Instead, he went out golfing. What a lazy bastard. All he does is golf, you know?
I put a meme up today. I wrote a meme on Facebook that said, He really doesn't know anything about governance. It's all about revenge for him and profit.
Absolutely.
And that's what he does. That's what he's been doing in office. And he's damn afraid that he's been found out by the authorities with his money laundering and all the rest of it.
He's just trying to turn it into a big PR game, which is disgusting. And Giuliani's guilty of that, too. They're trying to make it a big PR effort against Bob Mueller, who is a Republican from the word go, was appointed by a Republican, and he can't be faulted. He's been doing an exemplary job.
Yes, but the point is, Jack, that it's not about them really wanting to play a PR game. It's about running and hiding and being afraid of what's coming.
Exactly.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, they're trying to nick him any way they can, little tiny bit by little tiny bit, but it's not going to work because 63% of the population is in favor of letting him continue in his quest to expose what happened in the 2016 elections.
Yeah, the election was hoisted, yeah. Do you know that when Hillary Clinton walked in to Aretha Franklin's funeral, she got a standing ovation?
Yeah, well.
I was going to say, no surprise here to me.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Bill Clinton gave a great eulogy talk at Aretha's funeral.
Yeah.
Very proud of them all.
Yeah, he did some storytelling, like he always does.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it's Aretha, and did you notice that the Queen of England had her changing of the guard play for changing of the guard on the day of her funeral, Aretha's funeral? She had them change the guard to the tune of Respect.
Isn't that, that's incredible, isn't it?
It was quite a performance.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. And, you know, it just showed how many millions of people worldwide that Aretha Franklin touched. And I have bought a CD of her greatest hits, you know. I was no big fan of hers during her time on Earth, but I was aware of Respect, Chain of Fools, and a number of other songs, The House That Jack Built and stuff like that. She was really a good singer, no doubt about it. Aside from her gospel roots, she was outstanding, really was.
Oh, yeah.
The term soul music came from was all the soul music was really originated from gospel music and
right.
Then became mainstream pop.
Right.
That's
yeah,
what,
and spirituals and stuff, and they changed
soul
it into pop. Great job, yep.
Yeah.
To our benefit, we've been able to benefit from that immensely, from hearing that wonderful job that they've done with it.
Well, a great deal of our American-based music like jazz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even some of the crossover bluegrass and stuff all comes from the black community.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But roots is all. And of course, like I said, as many of you know, I am a musician, professional musician. I consider myself a blues guitarist and a blues musician. Well, you know, blues really
blues.
Came from the old gospels. You know, of the late 1800s in the black community.
That's right.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll had its origins there,
country
too.
Western. It's country, yeah. Even our country western, the three chords blues, three chords, one, four, and five progression is all based off of the old spirituals.
Isn't that something?
Talking rhythm chart.
what a lasting effect it has had on our culture, on the world culture, really.
Well, on a global culture. I mean, if
yep.
you talk to one of the Beatles, they'll tell you that's where a lot of there are the Rolling Stones.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, when Paul McCartney and I Want to Hold Your Hand, he's going, woo, he's doing Little Richard. He's
yeah,
doing
yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a positive influence on our culture globally, the original of the old black roots music.
Well, the old black spirituals are, you know, that's what
yeah.
they're about.
Yes.
You know, so, we were blessed to see two wonderful, if such thing can be, a wonderful funeral, wonderful funerals and inspiring funerals this past few days. It just was incredible. And, you know, like I mentioned in my latest blog about it's time for a restoration of civility in our politics. I did not vote for John McCain in 2008. And I probably wouldn't vote for a person like him today. But that doesn't dismiss the fact. The fact of the matter is that he was a wonderful man. He was a kind-hearted man. Even though he was on the other side of the political aisle, who cares? And he did, you know, my whole thing against him was that he was historically, in my opinion, too militaristic in this bomb, 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 Iran stuff of years ago. Nobody talks about that now, but he did say it, and I heard him say it on TV. And I don't fault him for it. That's just his outlook, and that's he came from the military, and he came from military tradition.
He was not a man without faults.
Oh, no, exactly.
He was a good man.
He's the first man to admit that, and he was a good man.
Oh, wait a minute. You do know that the bomb, bomb, bomber ran. He did admit to a journalist. He did admit that he did that after he'd had quite a few drinks.
That makes more sense then.
After a few drinks out, I'd be under the ground, man. I did not align with, none of us aligned with, to a certain degree, though, some of his policies I could agree with. But for the most part, he was the other side of the fence. But he was a respectable side of the fence. I knew he didn't mean to be, it was not his intention to, was a difference of ideals. And our ideals in different directions. But, you know, he was a nice guy.
He was. And, you know, he got accolades deservedly from both sides of the aisle. He really did. And you can disagree with his politics all you want, just as I've done. But by and large, when you look at the man, you've got to admire him and respect him for what he was. And he was a true gentleman and a good man, really, a good-hearted man.
The only thing that bothered me about the whole service yesterday, it was hard to sit there and listen to Henry Kissinger. I don't care who you are. I do not care. But Henry Kissinger can kiss my ass.
He's...
I would be like having Dick Cheney walk up there to me. I'm sorry. That one was... But he was a friend of McCain. Paid him respect, and my sister said that I didn't see it, but she said even Madeleine Albright was in the audience or in the church.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah,
Albright is not one of my favorites at all either. This, you know, folks who are not involved in the real in the political spectrum. At that level, who are not D.C., who are not there as legislating is going on, who have never seen how the House and how the Senate works, they don't understand. People don't have that kind of scope of vision to understand the compromise is necessary to keep a country of this size and proportion and its assets going. When you have to sit down and look at the numbers, there's a reality there that many people who are honorably and so wonderfully committed to fighting for just don't see that there are times when you have to sit down and take it step by step. They want all or nothing. And that's not how we get along, and it's not how you run a site price.
And that's not how life works. You don't get all or nothing.
That's true. Now, when England had half the world in its pocket, it was different. And to a degree, they still do. But as far as their country goes, and especially Scotland and now Ireland. I mean, the three of them are in exodus together, but they have their own parliament.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's much easier to come to terms with clearer lines without so much compromise until it becomes something that's just way too far in scope, like Brexit was. We have our guest is here with us now.
Yes, hello, everyone. I'm sorry I'm a little delayed.
Hi, Ron. Nice to hear from you again.
Nice to hear from you, too.
What a funeral, huh?
Wow, that funeral, I guess it was that way with Ted Kennedy, but I honestly don't remember that it was quite the same. Maybe it was, but nobody since. You would think it was the President of the United States that was being buried.
Yeah, I had that same thought. He, that was a very presidential, non-presidential funeral. It really was. And Meghan McCain, hats off to her. What a heartfelt delivery she had, and she just lambasted Trump without even mentioning his name. I loved it.
Yeah, but I understand that what he did in response at the end of the day was say on Twitter, "Make America Great Again." The same four words he always says.
What could he say? The guy's so small. It's just unreal.
I wanted to say Barack Obama, I thought, gave a great eulogy. And I think not only the eulogy, but a lot of the speeches he has made as president and otherwise, I think he's going to be ranked up there with Lincoln and Kennedy and FDR as far as oratory. He's
a very brilliant man to begin with. That's why.
I listened to Obama's eulogy again today. I agree with everything you said.
You know, even W didn't do too bad in his little speech. I expected less from him, but he did all right.
Yeah, actually, he did very well, and he also gave a candy to Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
and he kissed her and hugged her. They
I know.
Along
that
very
was
well
pretty,
Michelle
that
Obama
was pretty
and George
neat.
W. Bush.
That was pretty amazing.
Think about Bush. Is he has always faults, but he's a human being, and he has decency. That's
right.
The thing, you know.
Right, yeah.
So that's going to help him elevate him a little bit in history, a little
bit. The bad thing about him was his sidekick, Cheney.
Yes. But you know something? Dick Cheney, as bad as he is, I almost think Mike Pence is worse. So it's a terrible thing to be comparing two evils. But in some ways, I think he might be worse, Mike Pence.
Well, Pence thinks he's empowered by God, or on the pretense that he's empowered by God.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's just, that makes it much more exponentially dangerous.
Can you not hear me?
I hear you now, Gwen.
The connection isn't that good, though. As it wasn't on the cell phone, I had trouble hearing you, too.
Yeah.
Where have you guys been? Michelle Obama and George W. have had this little thing going on between the two of them for about he likes her. They're friends.
That's healthy.
Yes, that's part of life, and that's part of what John McCain was trying to point down yesterday. As I said before, I don't think this was about Trump. I think it was about reminding American society of who we are and where we come from.
Yeah, I want to remind you that in the past, Carter and Ford became friends, and Carter, of course, gave the eulogy at Ford's funeral, and, of course, H.W. Bush got very close to Bill Clinton, and Barbara Bush, may she rest in peace, used to say that he's our renegade son.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And also close to Bush. And now we see Obama and Bush get along well, too, and Obama and Clinton, even though Hillary, of course, was rivaling Obama.
You know,
but they all managed to get along, you know?
It wasn't that many years ago that the Democrats and the Republicans in Congress, they used to argue like hell and get mad at each other and just, you know, cut each other to pieces on the debate floor. But then they'd go out and they'd play softball or baseball or whatever. And they had a Democrat-Republican baseball game every year, and they used to hang out together once in a while. And that's all disappeared now. Now you've got these assholes like Jim Jordan and these guys that want absolutely nothing to do with anybody except their own people. And that's and Mark Meadows and those guys, they're absolutely worthless.
Well, that's the House Freedom Caucus. They're crazy, you know. I want to point out that Lyndon Johnson used to hear Everett Dirksen, the minority leader of the Senate, lambaste him on the floor of the Senate, and then LBJ would call Dirksen and say, come over for a drink. And then he'd sit there laughing and saying, why do you keep on making fun of me? Why do you keep on criticizing me, Everett? And Everett Dirksen said, it's my job to do so on the floor, and they laughed.
See, those were better days, really.
Yes.
Excuse me. The point is that these days, you think government was done from a fishbowl of all these little groups, and that's just not how it's done. It's done through what's so hard McCain was trying to lay out yesterday. It's done through bipartisanship. It's done through compromise. It's done through listening one another. And we have got so far away from that. And really, everybody's been honest and saying it's been since the 90s that this has been going on, but it's become acute.
You're correct, yes.
And this fishbowl politics in the middle of a country of this size with the kind of assets that we have to look after and all of the people in it, we're on a highway to hell right now. That's what it is. And McCain's funeral yesterday was a great big old stoplight trying to blink on and off and say,
Let us hope that we learn from this ceasing of hostility for at least a moment or two and really begin to reflect on it and change our ways. I don't know that that will happen, but I sure hope it does.
I don't think it will for now because of Trump, because he's encouraging
terrible
attacks on the press, like the Boston Globe having that person threatening. He keeps calling the media the enemy of the people. That's got to stop, and he doesn't stop.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And just today, I went to the movie to go see Final Operation, about the getting
Operation Finale. Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
Adolf Eichmann and stuff. Really got.
Oh
him.
Yeah, yeah.
But
very
it starts
good
off in Texas Roadhouse, and damn, there wasn't some half-ass fucktard. He had on his Trump 2012, and I don't give a fuck about your feelings. Proudly printed there in a family restaurant, and that's the kind of stuff that's being come from these people.
Well, those people, they're very crude. They're troglodytes, really. They're not very sophisticated at all, and they're just pigs. Is what they are. They're pigs.
Yeah. You can tell he was dumber than a rock.
There are very small portion of the overall population of this country. And recent polls have started to shine that back at people. You know, there's only now about voting-wise, there's only about 22% or 23% of the country who vote that are Republicans. Did you know that?
Right, yeah.
And I think independents will decide the midterm elections. And I think what happens in Florida, I don't know if you spoke about Florida before I got on the phone, but Andrew Gillum, wow, what a wonderful victory. And I think, I think he will do very well against Ron DeSantis, who is playing the race card. And I just hope and pray that we get Andrew Gillum as our next governor in Florida.
I hope you're right, my friend. Absolutely.
And like I said, I tell people, I grew up with the Klan. When he says, let's not monkey up our, this economy or something, right? That was the buzzwords for all the hateful Klan men, the neo-Nazis, the closet conservative that, doesn't think, no critical thinking employed, right?
Wayne, that isn't even conservative. That's reactionary. That's anti-conservative. It's anti-tradition. It's anti-American is what it is.
Yeah, indeed, conservative writers, intellectuals condemn Trump and all the people around him. They say he's destroyed conservatism.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't think that. I think that if William F. Buckley were around at this point, he'd be throwing his hands up and walking out of the.
I'm sure he would not accept
Trump. He'd be putting
him
around Trump's neck.
any more than Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard accepts him. I mean, he's a conservative. I mean, Bill Kristol worked with Dan Quayle. He was on. I still can't get over that. And he also worked with Sarah Palin. So I'm thinking, oh my God! But he has some sense that even Trump is worse than those people.
he's on TV quite a bit. Cutting down Trump deservedly
on MSNBC, the liberal channel. The conservative is on the liberal channel.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of conservatives actually that are on MSNBC, and
well,
they all are deploring
on there.
Him,
you know, he was a campaign manager for McCain's 2008 campaign. And
Steve Schmidt is brilliant. What he has to say, Steve Schmidt is great.
He's a wonderful man. I like him.
Yes.
Agreed. What Steve Schmidt has been saying, what he said, I was on MSNBC watching the funeral, and Steve Schmidt's commentary was incredible. It was just incredible.
Point by point, he nails him.
Yeah, he was putting it in plain terms of what is lacking. But also, like I said before, I don't think that the whole was, you know, to bright light how lousy Trump is and how ridiculous these Republicans are. I think basically it was about, you know, him putting up a stoplight to the American people and saying, remember who we are and where we come from.
Well, you know who I think we have to blame for all of this, horrible vitriol that we're hearing all the time? I think it began with Newt Gingrich in his 1994 Republican Revolution.
Yes. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Ever since then, they've been bitter.
Right, really
yes,
started
I
with Rush Limbaugh that empowered Newt Gingrich and the contract with America and all that shit.
That's true,
that
too.
That was nothing more than pure propaganda.
Right.
That became popularized through Rush Limbaugh.
I think definitely it is Newt Gingrich, and I think he will be condemned in history for what he has done. And he's despicable. He is, but so is Sean Hannity, the more recent Rush Limbaugh.
He's
oh my God,
that was no more than the Me Too, the following up of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, Sean Hannity's a wimpy little
Janine
jerk.
Pirro.
He's a loudmouth jerk. I can't stand him. And you know, I used to refer to the contract with America is the contract on America.
On America, yes. Yeah. But also Janine Pirro and also Tucker Carlson, that whole evening group is just unbelievable,
pathetic.
You know, compared to MSNBC.
Disgusting.
You know?
Disgusting.
Here's a little bit of detail I want to pass on is that whole contract with America that everybody signed and this is what we're going to do, not one of those damn things got passed in a Republican from Congress.
It was all for show. It was PR, just like Rudy Giuliani's trying to play right now, and so is Trump.
Rudy Giuliani's saying the truth isn't the truth. He's
what
he's
a
whacked.
Jerk. Not with him. He wouldn't know it if it hit him in the ass.
Yes.
You know, I think if you go back and listen to what Meghan McCain was saying yesterday, she called out all of that stuff.
She sure did.
She said, you know, for all of the false bravado and the made-up conspiracies and all of that,
right.
She threw right out on the floor there in the background and said, this was not my father. My father did not do that.
She did it very artfully, too, because she never mentioned any names. It was all by inference and by what people have said. That was genius. Well done, Megan.
Yes, I wonder who's going to take that Arizona Senate seat by appointment. It'll be interesting to see
what
Governor
Doug
Ducey
we'll
does.
Cindy McCain.
I think Cindy McCain should get it if she wants it. You know,
I agree.
Qualified. Cindy McCain is eminently qualified.
Absolutely.
For the end of his term.
And
she
at least that
qualified.
Horrible Kelly Ward got beat for the other seat. What a jerk she was.
Oh, my God, yes. She is a monster.
She is a monster. She's something else, man. She's nuts.
And she's a medical doctor. You know that?
Oh God Almighty! they ought to take her credentials away.
Some of these doctors in Congress are just beyond belief. You know, they really are. They're so mean spirited.
Well, hey, Professor, let me remind everybody: the congressman who I did a lot of projects with, Wayne Gilchrist. It was
I remember Wayne Gilchrist, the name in Maryland. Yeah.
Right. Well, the one that took it over, I'm drawing a blank on his name. But basically, he was a medical doctor from Baltimore, but nothing more than a corporate stoogie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who knows how medical, how the medical community is right now, of doctors work with people, the majority of them, it's not surprising at all that one would be running that way for a position in the legislature. I mean, it's incredible. The whole thing is based on every of offices is based right back down into money. And by the way, we are enjoying a 3-day vacation or weekend because of why? Because of labor laws and labor unions.
Yes,
exactly. And yet we have an attack on organized labor since Ronald Reagan with air traffic
controls. Absolutely,
yeah.
And for the large part, it succeeded, and that's to everybody's detriment. Because, you know, you wouldn't have a paid vacation. You wouldn't have an 8-hour workday with overtime pay after that. You wouldn't have any of those things had it not been for the efforts of great labor leaders in the past who sacrificed sometimes even their lives to achieve that.
You're right.
So hats off to labor. Hats off to organized labor. Hats off to workers all across the country. You're the ones that make the world go round, not Trump and his allies.
Well, workers across the country are coming to the very same conclusion because now, 2 years down the road, and everything that has been executive ordered and tariffed and everything else, they're all tumbling financially because of this president.
Right.
So that wake-up is happening, and there is a great deal of suspicion, even amongst those that have, you know, supported him along. Now they're suspicious because of all of the guilty pleas and all of the convictions, and people are trusting Miller more than they are the lies, the obvious. Come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the ploys of this man. You really don't. You only have to be hateful, ignorant, and jealous, and enjoy watching somebody exact revenge.
Yep.
That's all you have to be a Trump supporter. They call him the maggot.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that I wrote today on theprogressiveprofessor.com about that Trump acts like a mob boss, and in many ways he has become one. And yesterday I wrote, because of the funeral of McCain, and it probably will never happen, but I said, really, when Trump passes away, he should not have his death officially announced. Of course, we'll know it. Should not have the flag fly at half-staff. Ideally, and should not have a presidential funeral that's really presidential. I mean, obviously he'll be buried, and any library he has should not be given any funding. Just like Nixon's library in the beginning was not given funding until it was redone and really started to tell the truth. Now it is funded. That's why I would wish, but I guess
I can't imagine when Trump passes away that there will be any great fanfare whatsoever. That guy has made nothing but enemies his entire adult life. And I can't imagine people are going to go out of their way to pay him respect. The guy deserves no respect. He's
no, how about this?
Hey, wait a minute, gentlemen. What does, and this was part of what McCain was about, what does deserve our respect is our respect for the Republic, and for the office.
Just for the office, not for the man.
No, not for him. He's a friggin' maggot. No, not for him, but because he's holding that office. Unless he is pulled out of there by impeachment, and God is willing, he will be brought down that way. Unless that happens, we have to remember he filled an office that we must reserve in respect or we lose who we are.
Right. Yes. Good point.
Well, how about letting me suggest this as an alternative, maybe, if I may. When I was in the Navy, basically I buried three. I was part of the 21-gun salute saluting battery. Should Trump pass on, then I'll say, well, maybe we should just simply have another ceremonial aspect. How about the ceremonial aspect of the pissing on the grave?
I have had that.
You take 21 guys, you know, the 21 guys, you know, line them up. Right?
Oh, gosh.
I've had that same thought.
Yeah, well, so, and that's just it. With me in the Navy, it was 7 guys with 3 shots making the 21.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say just listen to 21 guys and have the ceremonial pissing on his grave.
Didn't Churchill do that? It's a German grave or something?
I'm going to get into my old uniform and do that.
Didn't Churchill do that same exact thing at some Nazi gravesite or something?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know, but maybe
I heard that years ago.
Yeah, but you know, I saw a meme on Facebook of a protesting Trump being pulled out of the White House by two, I guess, Secret Service agents or police, and he's screaming and they're taking him out. It's very funny. I mean, I hate to say it. And there's also this meme of a tall McCain and a little Trump at the bottom of his feet.
I love it.
And also, this week he had his hands clasped, but he wouldn't answer what he wanted to say about McCain, and he had a face. Now it's becoming a standard image of him having his hands crossed, you know, and he's putting on a face like he's a 2-year-old or something.
Well, he is a 2-year-old.
Ridiculous.
I'm shielding my body with my arms crossed in front of me, that body language.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a really poignant meme out there. I posted this time, and it was a picture of Sidney McCain with either one of her sons, of course, dressed in uniform on either side of her during the funeral, and below it, a picture of Trump's son.
Yeah, it's a picture of the two Trump sons with being an African and hunting wild game, and on the other hand, the two men, you know, the two McCain sons around McCain. Actually, you know, other than Cindy, I'm thinking all of his adult children are over 30. They could be senators. Why not make John the fourth if he was willing to leave the military to make him the senator, you know, for the next 2 years? That would be interesting.
Because we need a woman in that.
I agree. And
okay,
you know,
I understand
Cindy's
that. Yeah.
His wife,
yeah.
And they discussed stuff even if it wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they did.
Or
that,
even Megan,
you know,
even Megan McCain
time.
Could go if she was willing to do it. I'm just saying, in theory, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think Megan McCain would have the kind of wisdom and guidance that her mother would have in that seat, and that is a senator's seat. Cindy McCain is eminently qualified serve in that position.
If she wants it, though. The question is, does she want it?
I hope she will do it.
I don't think she would not do it. If she's asked, I think she will, because basically she's John McCain's wife, and she's got the same kind of footsteps.
His wife, his confidant, all those wonderful things, and she is the closest thing to John McCain we have right now.
And she's said to be moderate. She might actually vote against things and prevent the Republicans
from
having a majority.
Absolutely.
Possibly, you know.
Yep.
Well, John McCain did a lot of that, too.
That's why Arizona governor is under such pressure right now. The hardliners want him to nominate somebody like Mark Meadows or those kind of idiots, you know. But I think he's going to withstand that. I hope he will.
I hope he doesn't pick Kelly Ward, who lost the primary.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Gosh.
If he does, basically what will happen is that his career will go down the tubes, and it's Trump stuff. All of these people who have been hanging
on. He faces election.
I don't think that Ryan is getting out of it. What a coward he is.
Oh, he's disgusting.
Fiery. But McConnell is a bag of bones that's going to be easily crushed coming down the road here.
Yeah, the constipated turtle, that's what I call him. He looks like a constipated turtle.
His wife was next to him at the funeral. She looked bored, they said.
Oh, yeah.
She's not a nice lady. She's Secretary of Transportation.
She's a nasty lady.
Yes.
She's not even a lady. She's a woman. There's a big difference.
Good way to put it.
There's a big difference.
Yes.
You're right, Jeff. That's true. But do you know who was talked out of running against him and who could have probably beaten him and who could still pick up that seat? And I think she's qualified as Ashley Judd.
Judd, yeah. She ran against him one time.
No, she didn't. She was talked out of it.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. But
Which person are you talking about?
Ashley Judd.
But she thought about it, but she didn't run. Yeah, against, yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah, that's true, yeah. Against McConnell, yeah.
See, well, we know now how eminently brilliant the DNC is. They would rather see you have voted for Gwen Graham than for Andrew Gillum. That ought to be a lesson, and that lesson is being learned by the DNC.
I hope it is.
It takes a risk. It takes courage. It takes forthrightness.
They've been way too compliant for way too long. They've got to get bold again.
Well, particularly in the state of Florida, we've had very dull, moderate Democrats running for governor.
And they've been
getting
beat one after another.
Yeah. I really think he can win, Gil.
I think he can, too.
Of course he can. He's running against a buffoon, a clown.
Yeah.
Right. Also, one other thing to point out, he's from Miami, so he has some backing in South Florida, but he's mayor of Tallahassee in the panhandle, so
that's
makes him have a lot of strength in the panhandle, too.
That's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the IFAR corridor, Puerto Rican voters.
That's the key area. Yeah.
Voted for, and there's close to 30,000 of them. And they're all going to be voting. And they voted
for
primary, too.
Plus,
all the Puerto Rican population
all those
in Orlando, you're right.
They're graduating from that high school that had the shooting earlier this year, they're fiercely involved, too.
Yes, they are. There are a lot of young voters out there for this midterm.
They're wonderful.
And for the primary, too. It's keeping it going. And it will keep going because that's how terrible.
They are determined. They are bound determined to make a big change. And God bless them. I hope they can.
And I think Andrew Gillum could do well enough to carry indeed Bill Nelson over Rick Scott. I think he'll help Nelson rather than Nelson help him.
I hope so, yeah.
God, we don't want Scott, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, Rick Scott is catching a whirlwind of local news because he's responsible for a lot of the actions that have caused these algae blooms, the loss of our
Right. He's horrible on the environment anyway, you're right.
Yeah, he is to begin with, yeah.
And Nelson's been good on that.
You know, I hope the blue wave will extend so greatly that he'll be smothered.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that Nelson's...
I just want him to lose by one vote.
Yeah, well, Scott won governorship, only won it by 1% each time, so
yeah,
all he has to do is lose it by 1%, you know.
Right, exactly. I agree.
For the Senate, you know, yeah.
And Bill Nelson is no icon by any stretch, but he's a hell of a lot better than Rick Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I will remind you once again, Rick Scott didn't have to stand up to 30,000 Puerto Rican voters.
Yeah, know. Right.
You're right.
That's the difference.
Well, I'll never vote for any guy that looks like Lex Luthor. He looks like Superman's enemy.
Yeah. Actually, he looks like Voldemort in Harry Potter. Exactly, except the nose isn't smashed. If he smashed his nose, he would look just like Voldemort in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, that's just superficial. We don't like where he comes from, his attitude on life in general, let alone politics.
Well, I've seen memes of him with the guy who plays Voldemort, and the only difference is somebody has to punch in his nose and then he looks the same.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah.
It took more time to do that than me.
I wanted to ask you if you, with your great knowledge of the past president, if you could possibly talk about which presidents, especially in the last, 50 years or 100 years, 50 years, have been the best. Have been the best for.
You have a dog there, don't you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, somebody showed him
question?
A picture of Trump. He's barking like mad.
So what's your question about the last 50 years of presidents? I didn't quite get it.
Who have been the most supportive of labor unions and labor movements?
Since what time? What year are you starting?
It's FDR, okay?
Well, I'd say FDR, obviously,
FDR,
because of the National Labor Relations Act and the Fair
Johnson.
Labor Standards Act. But I would also say Truman vetoed the Taft-Hartley Act, although it became law.
Yep.
And Kennedy and Johnson, of course, promoted organized labor. And, those particularly. But I would also, I think that was the era when labor was doing very well. Since then, it's been in decline. But I think Bill Clinton and Obama did whatever they could, but it's been very limited what they can do. So I would say FDR is certainly the one most of all. Yeah.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan destroyed the working middle class.
Absolutely.
Basically, the labor movement, which is
he had a vendetta against unions.
Right. Yeah, and Reagan did the most damage, and then it's been going downhill from there.
Yeah,
I got to say this about Richard Nixon. He signed into law, maybe didn't originally promote it, but he did it with the Democratic Congress. He could have prevented it from going into law. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration,
incredible.
Which affects workers. So, again, Nixon has his faults, but he actually did sign into law the Environmental Protection Agency, the
right.
Consumer Product Safety Commission, OSHA, which I just said, and also NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And all of these, of course, now Reagan was cutting back on some of it, and now, of course, definitely Trump is trying to destroy all of it, and that's what's very distressing for someone like me who's a New Deal Great Society guy, you know?
Yeah, me too, man. I'm with you all the way. I'm with you all the way on that one, no doubt about it. We need more of those programs. We need them to be run properly and efficiently and as well as possible. Our country needs it.
Yes, even now with the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos wants to cut back on help for help for the disabled, and that's going against the disability law passed under George H.W. Bush, which we have to give H.W. Bush credit for.
Right.
But she's the kind of person you just feel like almost want to commit violence.
I agree, and
not really, but you don't
like
want to
Trump.
Your head, you know.
She's just like Trump. She's a person raised in privilege, and it shows she has no concern whatsoever about anybody else.
Yes, it's disgusting. Yeah,
like, absolutely disgusting.
People have money to buy books and supplies for the students in the classroom, or give a good, decent living wage to the teacher.
Right.
But we have money to buy guns to put in that fucking classroom.
Oh, it's insane.
And now he wants to cut back Trump on the increase for the federal government workers. That's outrageous.
And
yet he spends all this money on his golf trips.
Oh, he's insane. Him and his damn golf trips. He's a golfer in chief. What a lazy son of a bitch.
One out of every 4
bastard.
Days. And he writes 7 lies a day, or he says 7 lies a day,
and
1 out of 4 days he's golfing. It's ridiculous. And he was complaining if Obama golfed or went on vacation in Hawaii once in a while.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. He said, when I'm president, there's not going to be any time for vacation. I remember he said that.
What a liar. That's just one of his many, many, many millions of lies.
Yes.
Every time he goes golfing and he's got the Secret Service being put up in his hotel, he's getting paid.
Yep.
You know, he's collecting money from the government by putting up all the staff and everything, charging the taxpayers for him and his private little resorts to go to.
Yeah.
And also the hotel in D.C., he's getting under the emoluments clause, he's violating since day one. I don't know, should kick him out of office.
You know, these so-called fiscally responsible Republicans are anything but. You know, look at Devin Nunes, who went over to London on a taxpayer dollar to try and dig up stuff against Christopher Steele. He went nowhere, and the Brits didn't give him the time of day because they knew he was up to no good and he was full of bullshit.
I think
he's
going to be indicted anyway. I think he's going to be indicted. A lot of people are going to be indicted. Mueller's not playing games. He's a tough guy, you know?
That's great. And you know who broke that story? It blows me away. A young lady in her 20s named Natasha Bertrand broke that story in the Atlantic. She is some kind of incredible, for her age especially, but, man, she knows her stuff.
Well, there's also a lot of young journalists on MSNBC and CNN
in
their
20s
and 30s.
Incredible.
They're really good, you know.
Ashley Parker's outstanding. So is Natasha Bertrand. So is Jonathan Lemire. They got what a great squad, man.
Yes.
Well, I got to say that The Atlantic has been publishing some really wonderful pieces.
Yeah.
And
she's been at the head of – and you know what? She interviewed that Sam Patton guy months ago, and
now
she's been working on that story. That's,
That
– what an insight. I can't believe the head she's got on her shoulders. It blows me away.
Yes.
Let's give it up here, too. I mean, we're town criers ourselves to a certain degree. Let's give it up.
Are we?
We try to be.
Let's give it up for the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Picayune, all of these papers that have refused to buckle under the intimidation of the presidential office and the insanity.
Enemies of the people and all that nonsense.
And also,
Blasted Globe.
and also CNN and MSNBC and NBC and ABC and CBS. But you know, but meanwhile, they're all under threat now about people want to kill people, just like they did at that station in Maryland.
That guy was wacko.
A long time ago, I worked alongside journalists and aspired to be one. And I got to tell you that you don't really scare reporters away from a byline. And any author knows that. They got a byline at stake. They're going to go for it.
Not only that, they're dedicated to presenting the truth for unknown things to the American public. They're not out there for their own agenda to get noticed or to have the spotlight. That's not what they do. You can tell that by looking at them.
Not always. Not always. There's
most of them. I'd say 9/10 of them.
Well,
all but the conservative journalists.
Yeah, right.
Say all of them. You can say that about Amy Goodman. You can say that maybe about Rachel Maddow. You can say, you know, it took a lot. People, I love it the way the Uber left goes after Maddow. They forget Doc Maddow from Air America. It took everything for Keith Olbermann to coax her on to television.
Yeah, Keith did a great service by that. Now she's got the best rated show on MSNBC.
And Trump also hates Lawrence O'Donnell, who has the second greatest show.
Yeah,
Lawrence O'Donnell at 10 after Rachel, yeah.
Right.
I get bored with O'Donnell sometimes.
Maybe he's just tired.
It's 10 o'clock at night.
He's a lot more sedate. There's no doubt about it. But he's still very relevant, no doubt about it.
And he's been threatened to be sued by Trump many times, and Trump threatens, but he's never sued him.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
That's true, and he's a fantastic writer. I'd rather sit down and read what he has to say than have to listen to someone.
Well, he's more sedate than Rachel Maddow. She's definitely a personality.
Well, no, what Rachel Maddow is a teacher. Come on, Ron. Don't you see how she teaches us in her broadcast?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Sets it up.
She's very personable. Yeah, she's really special. There's some people who think that she should run for president in 2020.
Sets it up for you. She gives you the background. She lays out the facts. And she has done so with this Mueller investigation right down the road. She has been on top of stuff that pops like 4 months later.
Yeah, point by point by point. Nothing gets by her, and she presents it magnificently. She's outstanding.
Yeah.
So is Chris Hayes at 8 o'clock. I think Chris Hayes has done a very good job,
he's good, too, yeah. But, again, he's more sedate. He's more laid back, just like Lawrence O'Donnell is more laid back.
He's not
at Ari Melber's a good man, too. He's a very smart guy. I like him a lot. Yes.
I've been going back and forth lately between CNN and MSNBC.
I have, too, yeah.
Because the news has been breaking so much lately. But I got to tell you this. These idiots, they got this guy Cuomo on in prime time on CNN.
He's in danger of not winning his election.
He's not the governor of New York.
Chris Cuomo, the brother who's on CNN.
Oh, it's the brother, the brother.
Andrew's running for governor. And I'm not too thrilled about him. Of course, I want him to win if he's a nominee. But something about him, I think I've said, rubs me wrong. But he probably is going to beat Cynthia Nixon, the actress who is not related to Richard Nixon. I bet some people think she is.
What makes you think so, that New York is going to vote for him? Because the polls are telling you that? Like they say Gwen Graham was going to win the nomination?
Yeah, maybe Cynthia Nixon will win it. You know, it would be an amazing upset, you know.
That would be, of course.
I've always said Mario, he sounds like his father Mario, but he's not his father. He's just not different.
He's not the same, no. He's a poor imitation.
But Chris is really good. He competes, of course, with Rachel Maddow. That's why I think he doesn't get the ratings as much at 9 o'clock.
I don't find him really good. I find him, as much as people might think he's very tight, I think he can be a horse's ass. And
Chris Cuomo? Who?
Yeah.
You don't like him? I usually watch Rachel, but I've heard Chris has done a great job of interviewing, you know, and I see him once in a while.
He doesn't back away from things. I'll give him that. He presses to the point. He doesn't put up with the Republican BS. But he puts things in contexts that I think are way out of whack. I mean, I had a great example this week of just how far off the mark he was, and I can't even recall it at the moment. I'm sorry. But I'm not real. He's just a spinner, a talking head. When people enter the realm of being a talking head and nothing more, and let's face it, it's on every
just network. Another pretty face. That's it.
Well, it's irritating. But that's when I go to YouTube and watch the Young Turks, or I go over to Free Speech TV or Democracy Now, and I do that anyways. But I mean, there's many places you can go to get your news, including, let's remember, some of our past guests who put out some really wonderful, very leftist, needful issues that they address, like Eleanor Goldfield's Act.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And Lee
She's wonderful.
Lee Camp,
yeah.
Even if it is on Russian television, it's still Lee Camp, and it bears listening to.
Yeah.
You have to know the full spectrum of
My next post on the Saturday Afternoon Post, which is going to appear on Thursday, will be in praise of the so-called fake media and the fake news media and all that nonsense that Trump always warns us about, which is an absolute insanity, because there's a lot of good journalism going on out there, and for him to just ignore it and dismiss it as fake news is absolutely disgusting.
Yes. I wanted to mention, by the way, before we go, I only have 5 minutes left, the Village Voice is going out of business, and the Daily News has been cut in half. I think the Daily News, I admit it's not the New York Times, but still to lose a 99-year-old paper, it started in 1919, and it's the biggest city, and the Village Voice, which has been around since 1955, is really a tragedy. And there are other cities losing newspapers, the smaller papers or the less successful ones, but that's a tragedy for media.
They haven't been as successful in merging to internet coverage and stuff like that, evidently. That's a tragedy, though.
I'm still from the time I like having a paper where I can touch it.
I do
still
too.
Like that.
You can go back to it later on,
I think that's important, Ron. You're really quite right. I once had a byline in the Village Voice place, actually, and I think it's a damn shame that it's going by the wayside. I think it was supposed to have been shut down about a year or 2 years ago, but they made it through. I'm hoping they'll make it through again.
Yes.
A lot of great writers have been anchored at the Village Voice for some time. It used to be that way about the Rolling Stone, too, but ever since The Intercept screwed up so bad, and I don't read
Journalism is in crisis, except for the major newspapers and the major networks. That's what's bad. The local papers are going out, and that means people don't know what's going on locally, and that's how a lot of corruption occurs, and there's not good local news.
Oh, there are so many ignorant people following Trump to the end, and that it just shows you how stupid people have become.
Yes.
Well,
they're lazy, and they don't even want to bother checking out the truth.
You're right.
Let's remember, it's a very small portion of the community, not a large one. We have a bigger voice and breath. It's just that they scream bigger, and the news likes the screamers. Ron, will you tell people where to find you, please?
Oh, sure. Okay, of course, I have the ProgressiveProfessor.com. I'm also on Facebook under my name, Ronald Feynman, and also under the Progressive Professor, and also under my book title, Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidency. And I'm on, and I'm also on Twitter at Politist, PolitHist, PolitHist. And I'm also now, because I'm starting to do it on LinkedIn and on Google+ as well. So I'm all over the place. And I did write today about the fact that the month of September has more threats and attempts and some successes of killing presidents than any other month. There's seven presidents and a candidate were either killed or threatened, mostly threatened. But we did have the death of McKinley, Garfield, and Huey Long, the presidential candidate.
Right.
And then Ford and Gerald Ford was shot at. And then we had threats against Bush 2 and against Clinton, and also against TR in office, and also against Obama. So that's seven presidents and one candidate, all in the month of September. The
wow.
Month on that. Yeah.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you, gentlemen, for being with us. We've only got a few seconds of live air here. So I want to thank my great co-host and writer, Jack Jodell, and equally as much, Wayne Johnson. Wayne, glad to know you're back home. And please come back soon and speak with us. As
well, I'm sorry I was delayed by 15 minutes, but I really enjoyed this today, yes.
Yeah, it's always fun. And we got to urge everybody, make sure you vote. It's so important that you vote this
yes.
fall. Don't sit home. You can't complain at home. That's not good. You got to vote.
You're right.
Yep.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah,
hope
thank
to be
you,
on again
Ron.
Soon.
Nice to hear from you again. And Gwen, thank you for the opportunity again. And Wayne, nice to hear from you, my friend. And Gwen, keep up the good work. And I guess we'll talk to all of you next week. Next, look forward
I
to it, my
so.
Friend.
I hope so. I'd like to be on again. Thank you.
Yep.
It's a team of four, not a bad team, huh?
That's very good.
Thank you, gentlemen, and everybody have a really great week. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and I'm the producer, One Barry, and our guest tonight was Ron Feynman, who's a presidential historian and author. Thank you.